Now, my topic tonight is, I titled it called Christmas in February. Now, some of you saw the brochure, and some of you have asked me, Christmas in February? What in the world is that all about? David sort of explained a little bit of it when he was introducing the music, and I really appreciated that because it helped you to think about the songs, I think, a little more clearly. And so the message of those, I think, really spoke to your hearts. But Christmas was 2 months ago. Are any of you still trying to buy gifts for those people who gave you gifts and you didn't? Oh no, I forgot. I better get a gift for them. And I think I saw somebody back there going, oh. It's not too late. You can do that. But 2 months ago, we were reading a story. And that story is found in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." Now, you know, the truth of the matter is that is very, very good news. And it should bring joy to our hearts. But it is only good news, and it will only bring joy if you realize that you need a Savior. It does you no good. It is not good news. It is not a joyful thing. You might think, well, it's a nice thing to think about at Christmas, but it is not great news unless you realize you need a Savior. There's lots of people around the world who think that they can get to God by doing good works. They don't need a Savior. They can do it on their own. But the truth of the matter is we are bankrupt. We don't have a chance without a Savior. The first verse in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, verse 3, said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And what that means is this. I don't know if you've ever been to any of the major cities of the world. But like, take Mexico City, for example. You've got the poor, and they're the people that they're living in cardboard shacks. They're barely making it. Then you've got the poor. And they're the ones that are crippled, that unless somebody gives them something, they're going to starve. That's what this poor is. And see, we need to recognize that unless we have a Savior, we don't have a chance. We're poor. And the thing that calls for is a humble heart. We need to recognize that He is God, and we're not. An interesting thing, though, is Matthew 5:3. The verse about being poor in spirit is not only true for us before we come to Christ, but it is true for us afterwards as well. And that's what I want to really emphasize tonight, is that not only do you need a Savior to save you from your past sins, and so that you can enjoy eternity with God in heaven, but so that you can live a life that is pleasing and honoring to God. Because in John, the 15th chapter, says that you are created to bear fruit. He also says this, you can't do anything apart from Him. And you know what? We will live our lives trying to prove that verse is false. But it is true. We need a Savior. The songs that we sang tonight, He's all I need. What a tremendous, tremendous thought. You know, we can sing that over and over again, and because you know, it sounds good. But is it true in our lives? So tonight, I want to try and give you a tool. Something that has helped me tremendously. To help you see more clearly sort of what is going on in your life so that you can see how desperately you need a Savior. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 43. And you probably, if you're familiar with this one, I'm sure. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Now, I want to show you a little video clip. And I want you to look at it, and I want you to make a judgment here, okay? About what kind of tree is represented here, okay?
Excuse me. I know you didn't think anyone would catch you, but you just slammed your door into my car. The least you can do is say you're sorry, lady.
I don't have to take that tone. It's not like I'm hurting your resale value.
I'm sorry. See? Like that.
I think that's the definition of road rage. But did you catch that last line? I don't know what got into me. I think it was something that was evident there. When you think about it, it wasn't what got into her, it's what came out. And that's what this passage is talking about. It's out of our heart, or out of the fruit of our life, comes out kind of that kind of stuff. Now, all of us get bumped into once in a while. All of us experience heat in our lives. Let's look at James chapter 4. We're going to camp here for quite a while. James chapter 4, verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Is it because your roommates leave dirty clothes on the floor? No. Is it because your roommates are insensitive to your needs? Is it because your roommates leave the macaroni and cheese pot in the kitchen sink for 3 days? That's what causes fights and quarrels. That's what it says. No. It says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? See, the thing is that you can, what people do to you just bring stuff out. Now notice in here it says, don't they come from your desires? Do you see any, does anybody have in their Bible that says evil or bad desires? It's wrong. I'm sorry. It doesn't say anything about evil desires. It just says desires or pleasures. Okay? They're just the things that we want. Wanting things doesn't mean they're bad. We want acceptance. Okay? We want to be significant. We want to be loved. That is not bad. And then it says, the desires that battle within us. What is the battle about? What is it for? Well, the war is over our hearts. That is what is going on. Because out of our heart, the mouth speaks. Out of our heart is what where life comes from. Jesus wants our heart. The enemy wants our heart. So there's this battle that rages for our heart. You know, God has created each one of us to be worshipers. And the truth is that you will worship what brings you the most satisfaction. That will get your highest loyalty. John Piper said something I just think is tremendous. He says that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. You hear that? We worship when we're satisfied. And see, God wants us to love Him with our whole heart. He wants us to... He calls us to be lovers of Him. Now, God also created us to be people that life or how we live flows out of our desires. And so the battlefront that is out there is that we will fight we long for a creation rather than the Creator. Now, again, the thing is desires are not bad in themselves. But when they rule us, that's when we get in trouble. Let me give you an example. The other night, well, a couple weeks ago, I was in Fort Worth. I had this conference. I got up at 4:30 in the morning, went down there, and I got about 4 hours sleep that night. The next night, I couldn't sleep, and I got another about 4 hours sleep. So I was a tired camper, okay? I came home. It was raining the whole way back. It was probably a good thing because it kept me, I had to concentrate a little more. But I was exhausted. I come home about 8 o'clock at night. Okay? Now, my desire is to relax and go to bed early. Anything wrong with that? Anybody going to condemn me for that? No. Okay. I'm making my move towards going to bed, okay? But our bathroom is occupied with one of our children's who is lounging in the bathtub reading, I don't know what kind of magazines, probably some kind of Martha Stewart kind of magazines. But we won't name any names. It wasn't Matt. I couldn't go in the bathroom. And it was like, what? How insensitive! How could you do that to me? Do you see the sort of the anger that came out? It was because I let that desire rule my heart. I didn't have it like this. I had it like this. I demanded and I deserved the right to go to bed when I wanted to. Now, let me tell you what happens with these desires. Let me give you a little more of a description. With the desires, they mutate. Okay, and you've seen these movies where things mutate and they turn into some ugly. Okay, well, these desires, they mutate into what are called needs. I told my children I was going to embarrass every one of them tonight. So here goes number two. Someday, maybe you say this to your parents. Or maybe you've gotten past it. But when one of my daughters, she would want something, whether it was a new pair of shoes or even a Dr. Pepper. It's like, oh, I need. See, that is one of the most misused words in our vocabulary. I need a new pair of shoes. And you look at her feet and she has shoes on. What's wrong with the ones you have? Or I need a Dr. Pepper. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by Dr. Peppers as well. I didn't know that. But see, it's one of those kind of deals that we need it. But, you know, I think she taught that to her younger sister. But it doesn't work anymore. Oh! Because that's what they get. They get that need. Do you need it? All right. So what need mutates into are expectations. And that's another form of them, you know, it's getting uglier, okay? Because see what happens with expectations? Is that there's an expectation that we'll get what we want. And if we don't get what we want, there's disappointment. And when there's disappointment, there's someone who's going to pay. Okay? Now, does that happen, you know, did that happen in that amount of time that I just said? No, it's almost banned. And here's the thing is that if I am sort of the king of my kingdom, if it's my kingdom come, my will be done. See, what happens is that when a law is broken, then I'm going to punish them. And it can happen a lot of places. Like, commonplace for me is when I drive. Okay? The other day I was pulling out of that, over there by, what's over there? That Home Depot shopping area, you know, over there. Okay, I was pulling out of there. Get this stoplight coming out of there. And there's this gal on her cell phone. And, you know, it was like, it's green. Hello, it's green. It's green! So she pulls out like she was peddling that new car. Guess what? I got stuck. Okay? I didn't get through the light. I go up to Main Street. And guess what? She's there! Guess what? She's still on her cell phone. I was a little bit in a hurry, okay? I had just purchased something for Nancy's birthday, and I was running a little late, and I didn't want her to suspect anything. So she was blocking my goal. Now, did I ram into her car like the video? No. But, you know, I had a few words for her, okay? And if my wife is ever with me, she'll pat me on the leg and go, honey, they can't hear you. But anyway, you see what we do, though? We have this mentality that somebody has to be punished. And sometimes what we do with our friends is we ignore them. In a way, that's sort of a form of killing them because they don't exist. Or we get mad at them and we say slanderous things. Or we hold on to malicious thoughts. How does it work with God? Well, we have this, and I don't know if you've ever had this thought, but I wouldn't be surprised if you fell for this one. Is that God, you didn't give me my needs. Therefore, I have to get them myself. You see how it is my kingdom? My will be done? My needs have to be met? And see, that's exactly what James was talking about in verses 2 and 3. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And see, when we substitute the things of this creation for the Creator, we're committing adultery. It'd be like this. Valentine's Day wasn't too long ago. Okay? So let's suppose I go home and I put my arm around my wife and I go, hi, honey. You know, of all the women I love, I think I'm going to love you the most tonight. You know? Is that what she wants to hear on Valentine's? I don't think so. Guys, just make note of that. Why? Because there's a jealous love. And see, that's the way God is. In verse 5, it says, "Or do you think the Scripture says, so without reason, that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely?" God is a jealous God. He loves us so much that He wants our hearts completely. And if we give them to other things, we are committing adultery. Now, you know what's the penalty for adultery? It's stoning. We don't like that idea. But this is what we know of God. But He gives us more grace. More grace. And see, that's what the cross is about. It's about His grace. Then it goes on to say that God is opposed to the proud, those who don't need a Savior, who live for their own kingdom. But He gives grace to the humble. He pours out His grace to those who need it, who desire it, who realize that that is what will satisfy their soul. Keep your thumb here, or finger, or bookmark, whatever you want to do. Flip over to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions or worldly desires, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Paul was telling Titus to teach about the grace of God. The grace of God that helps us to say no to ungodliness and those worldly passions that can wreck our lives. Now, the next question is how do we know when we are on the throne, or when we are after our own kingdom, or when Jesus is on the throne of our heart? If you've heard me speak before, I don't speak very often without using something I call the clue phone. Okay? That is one of the big things that we need to pay attention to. What happens when we have conflicts? You know, do we blame someone else for what came out of our life? Another thing, another source, is the counsel you listen to. You sang songs tonight. That is counsel to you. You're listening to me tonight. That is counsel. When you watch TV, that's counsel. When you read a newspaper, you're getting counsel. When you see a billboard, you're getting counsel. When you get on the internet, you're getting counsel. You're getting counseled about life. Pay attention to what it's telling you. Is it telling you truth about God? Because the Scriptures teach us that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because what is going on out there is our speculations and lofty thoughts raised up against the knowledge of God. In other words, the enemy wants to raise up lies about God, that He isn't good. He also wants to tell us that lies about ourselves. Just pay attention to those things. I mean, when you see something at a store, for example, if I had that, then he would like me and he'd ask me out on a date. Girls, do you ever hear that? Not quite like that. But see, that's counsel that we receive sometimes. Or guys, it's sort of like, okay, and if I lift weights for about 6 months, you know, that kind of deal. I don't want to do that very long because I'll hurt myself. But see, what is that all about? That's counsel. But who's on the throne? We put ourselves there, the big I, not Jesus. Because we're looking for the creation to give us life and not the Lord. Another thing is the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you receive counsel from the Word of God daily. You know, Hebrews 4:12 is a great verse. Because it says that the Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And guess what it's able to do? It's able to cut through all our muck, and it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. It's like a mirror. Now, when I got up this morning, and my hair was sticking out here, and you know, you got that white stuff from drooling. You know what I'm talking. Let's be honest. You know, we're being transparent here. Did I look at the mirror and I go, come on. Hey, I've been so nice to you all these years, and now look what you're doing to me. Did any of you do that to the mirror? Now you're going, thank you. Wow, I didn't know I looked so bad. But see, that's the Word of God. It tells us what's going on in our hearts. Do we argue with it and tell us how mean it is or how it's not telling us the truth? The God who wrote this, the Spirit teaches us, loves us so much. That's why He's revealing those things to us. We need to hear that as a love song, a love message. I mean, when my wife tells me, you don't look so good, I pay attention. I know she loves me. All right, I want to give you a little illustration. Some of you, remember when you're a freshman? Boy, this was important, okay? But it was sort of that, you know, you carried it in your notebook and you sort of... because you didn't want to be, you know, everybody knows if you're doing this then you're a freshman. But I want to give you a map because it is so important. This illustration, I think, will help you see it. See what's going on in your heart so that you can give that to the Lord. Okay. At the top, that little red and yellow glow is heat. Heat happens in our lives. Your roommate, again, leaves the pot in the sink for 3 days and doesn't wash it. Heat. Someone doesn't apologize. Someone's insensitive. Heat. Get a bad grade on a test. heat. Financial problems, heat. But what comes out is the question. Remember back in Luke 6, 43 and following, it talks about a thorn bush and a tree that gives good fruit. What does your flesh life look like? Let me give you some things to look for. Fear. That's huge. Fear. Are you ruled by it? Do you give in to it? You know, some people have a lot of fear and so they try and control life. They're afraid that they're going to be embarrassed. They're afraid that they're going to look bad. They're afraid that they'll be vulnerable. So they're so controlled. Another part of fear is they withdraw. And sometimes people will use anger to push people away. And it's all because of fear. Anger is another thing that comes out of our flesh. Blame. Arrogance. Arrogance is one of those kind of things. It's sort of like bad breath. Everybody around you knows it, except for you. Critical spirits. I need to tell you a story. I got to tell you this story. I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day, Derek Gregory. Some of you know him. He has a bunch of kids, and his youngest, Hudson, is about 3 years old. Derek was looking at him the other day, and he had this empty cup, and he was doing this with it. And Derek was looking at him sort of like, and he looks at his dad, and he goes, "Dad, don't worry. I'm just getting new air in my mouth." Some of us need new air in our mouth. But anyway, another thing in our flesh that we need to watch for is being critical. Do we have a judgmental, critical spirit towards other people? See, when those kind of things come up, what does that say about our fruit? What does that say about what kind of, where we're living? What is the next part of that, the heart, it's the eye on the heart. It's what rules. It's my kingdom. My will be done. And see, what we need to do with that is take it to the throne of grace, the grace of God. But another thing, and you see that idea there about the transaction. What a transaction is like when you go to the ATM machine, you're making a transaction. You're withdrawing money from your account and you're getting cash. Okay? That's a transaction. So what we're doing here is we're exchanging my life for the Christ life in me. That's what we want to exchange. So one of the first things we have to do is we have to recognize there is a problem. And that's why we need to pay attention to when the clue phone rings. We need to repent. Because remember again, when we live in the flesh, we're committing adultery to God. We have to get our relationship right with God. And what repentance is, it's a change of mind. I'm not going to get life from that. I'm going to get life from where the real life source is in God. Now, one of the things about this is this, is that you can analyze perfectly. You can get all the great insights in the world about your flesh life, okay? And you can say, "Oh, man, I'm walking in the flesh. I need to walk in the Spirit." It doesn't change you. It doesn't change you. I have a confession before my family tonight. I have been thinking about this as I had thought about something. My family, especially my girls and my wife, they accuse me of having this look, okay? And then using this voice. And every time they accuse me of it, I'm going, what? What are you talking about? Okay? Now, they don't like that voice, and they don't like that look. Okay, so that tells me that something is not right. So I've been trying to figure it out. And I think the Lord revealed something to me. Because usually, what happens is I'm saying something that there needs to be a change. Okay, let's put it that way. Not that my girls would ever do anything wrong, but we'll just leave it there. The last time the look or the voice came out, I sat in my room and I go, okay, this has got to change. Something's got to be said here. Okay, but I want to be gentle. Okay? So I need to put on a heart of gentleness. Okay, all right. So I go in and I thought I said it with gentleness. I mean, they'll testify that I tried to say it with gentleness. I didn't use that voice. Right? Isn't that right? Yeah. Okay. But you know what? The truth of the matter is what's on your heart, it will leak out. And see, I wanted to change. I wanted it for me. Yeah, maybe those characteristics aren't good. But the bottom line is I wanted them because they bothered me. And see, what needed to change in me, if that voice is going to go away, there's got to be a heart change in me. That gentleness is a fruit of the Lord working in my heart. Because He is my life. He is my life source. And see, all the things that we sang tonight, all those kind of things that are in the Scripture that talk about how gracious and loving and good and kind and wise, that is the God that we serve. That is the God who wants to be known like that. And He is the God who wants to fill our hearts so that when we minister to other people, His life flows through us. So that there's good fruit. That we give them good fruit and not a thorny bush. And see, if it's for us, it'll be a thorny bush. And not that nourishing fruit that will last. So, we need to recognize it. We need to confess it. We need to repent of it. We need to recognize it, Lord. I am trying to be the Lord here. But You are the filler of my heart, not the way my kids act. Not the way my roommates act. Not to make life work for me. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it gives a great perspective in all this. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. So that we'll be comfortable? No. So that we can comfort those in any trouble, that the comfort we ourselves have received from God. See, we are to be filled with Him and then touch other people. But we can never really impact the hearts of other people until we experience that comfort from God. Let me close with this. I read a prayer by St. Francis, and this is what he said. Lord, I pray that I would not grasp to be understood, but that I would understand. I pray that I would not grasp to be loved, but to love. I pray that I would not be consoled, but to console others. See, he was about receiving from him, not just, you know, demanding his rights, but giving his life so others would know Jesus.